One of the games I like to play, the lady in the sketch, she liked to play Yellow Car. I like to play a game called How Do People React When They Find Out I'm a Vicar? Do you know what I mean? It's like you could be having a totally normal conversation with someone, and then they'll be like, oh, what do you do? And I'm like, well, I'm a vicar. And immediately, everything changes. People get really defensive. Alright? I don't know, maybe you've noticed if you're a Christian and you're talking to somebody and they suddenly find out you're a Christian, they suddenly get really defensive. I get stuff, people immediately start saying things to me like, oh, well, blah, you know, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I'm like, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. That's what being a Christian is all about. It is about being part of the church. That's what we've just seen in a baptism this morning. Welcoming people into the life of the church. Something else people say to me is they go, oh, well, I'm a seeker. All right? I'm a spiritual seeker. And it's just a way of just holding you at arm's length. It's like, don't talk to me about your religion because I'm already on my own journey. I'm already seeking after truth. I'm already seeking after reality. I am a seeker. And it sounds really impressive, doesn't it? It sounds like you can't really criticize that. All right? Except that I find that people who say that are just, they're not. They're just not. All right? If you were seeking for, say, treasure, all right, every waking minute that you had, you would be investing it in the quest, in the pursuit of that treasure. That's what it means to seek things, to actually be active in looking. People come and say, oh, you see, I'm a spiritual seeker. My first question is, so how long this week have you spent studying, getting your head around the person of Jesus? Because if you are a seeker, that is the first place you are going to look. Before you do anything else, you are going to spend time, energy, getting your head around, who is this Jesus? What did he do? What did he say? Why did he say it? Because Christianity is the oldest religion in the world. Right at the beginning, at the very birth of creation, at the birth of humanity, Jesus Christ was there. He was there. All things were created through him. Everything came into being through him. Christianity, a religion, a spirituality that focuses on Jesus, is truth. If you are seeking after truth, you will want to go to the source of truth, to Jesus. Now, basically, that's what we spend a lot of time here at church doing. We are seeking truth. And so we do spend a lot of time looking at, listening to Jesus. And that's what we're going to do now, okay? Diane's going to come and read for us just one short conversation that Jesus had with some religious, spiritual people of his day. And then we're going to start to think a little bit, get our head around what Jesus is saying and why he's saying it. So Diane, could you come and read for us from Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, one of those biographies of Jesus. And we're just going to have a few verses from the start of chapter 16. They're going to be on the screen.
The demand for a sign. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, "When evening comes, you say, 'It will be fair weather, for the sky is red.' And in the morning, 'Today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast.' You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah." Jesus then left them and went away. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Diane. Much appreciated. It's interesting, isn't it? Because what Jesus heard 2,000 years ago, right? People still say that. They still say that. Something else people say to me when they find out I'm a vicar is, and again, it sounds, at first blush, it sounds like really credible. But people still say, well, you know, of course I would believe in God if He just showed me a sign. If He gave me a sign, if He did something in my life, in my sphere of experience, that just showed me He was real, showed me He was there, then of course, I would follow Him in a heartbeat. And it sounds so open-minded, doesn't it? It sounds so fair. It sounds so like, yeah, I'm genuinely open on this. I'm willing to be convinced. I'm reasonable. But I need to see something. After all, seeing is believing. So if you want me to believe, then God needs to show me a sign. Give me a sign. Now, that's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious teachers of Jesus' day, were saying to Him 2,000 years ago. Of course we'll follow You, Jesus. Of course we will believe that You are from God. Of course we will believe that You tell us the truth. If You show us a sign. Now, if you know the biography, you know the life of Jesus at all, you know how stupid that is. Because actually, Jesus has spent years by this stage just doing signs. Healing people, walking on the water, calming storms, casting out demons, bringing the dead to life, feeding 5,000 people with just a couple of loaves and a handful of fish. They've got signs coming out of their ears. But of course, when they see a sign, they just explain it away. Or they say something like, well, the only reason Jesus can do things like that is because there is a spirit at work, but it's not the spirit of God. There's an evil spirit at work through Jesus. That's why He can do what He does. So even when they have signs, they're going to explain them away and find reasons why it's okay to ignore them. But here they are now with total audacity. And they're saying, all right, Jesus, You want us to believe in You. You want us to follow You. You want us to be Your disciples. Show us a sign. So reasonable. You know, we're open to evaluating the evidence. Just show us a sign. But Jesus does something that's really quite disturbing. Because Jesus basically confronts them and He says, you're not really interested in following me at all. This whole give me a sign thing, that's not because you want to follow me, you just need a good reason. It's because you don't want to follow me and you need a good reason. You see, you're banking on the fact that nothing is going to happen. It's like, oh, of course, God, give me a sign. Actually, of course, He won't really. And then I am free just to carry on living my life the way I want to without having to follow Jesus. That's why Jesus called them wicked and adulterous, faithless. He says, you are hypocrites. Because you're sounding like you're all open-minded. Actually, you're not open-minded at all. You're sounding like you're willing to follow me, but you're not willing to follow me at all. And Jesus pulls His no punches on this. He calls them out on it. He says, look, I know what's going on in your heart. And so, no, I'm not like some party magician who just turns up and does a little miracle on demand. He said, you've already got the sign that you need. You already have all the information you need. You already have all the evidence you need. If you really wanted to follow me, you could do it with a clear conscience. He said, you already have the sign of Jonah. And we're going to come back in a few minutes and just have a little bit of a think about what that sign is all about. What is the sign of Jonah? So Jesus is engaged with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they've asked Him for a sign, and He's saying to them, no, all right, you already have the sign you need. And He calls it the sign of Jonah. So it occurs to me that it might just be worth our while just recapping quickly on the story of Jonah from the Old Testament in the Bible.
This is Jonah, and he's overboard. A few minutes ago, he was up here with these guys, but they threw him into the sea. To understand why, let's back up. Jonah was a prophet. He got messages from God and delivered them to people.
God will restore our land.
Everything was fine until God gave him this message.
Dear Nineveh, in 40 days you will be destroyed.
Jonah didn't like the message, and he really didn't like Nineveh. So he did what any of us might do when confronted with the clear, unchanging will of an all-powerful God. He ran. He ran in the opposite direction of Nineveh. And he didn't stop at the sea. He kept going on this boat with these guys. Until they realized that Jonah was the cause of this horrible storm that tossed their ship. And they tossed him overboard. That's when Jonah met the very big fish. Fish stomachs are strange places. But they get you thinking about life. And Jonah realized he'd made a mess of his. He decided that God's way is the best way, no matter what. And he got the chance to prove it. Jonah arrived in Nineveh, a foreign city filled with godless people. He knew his mission. He held his message. All that remained was a choice. Speak or run.
40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed!
With those words, Jonah went overboard again. Not like a fool being tossed to the sea, but like a man diving headfirst into destiny. And something wonderful happened. People were saved. A triumph of mercy sent in motion by one man, armed with 8 words and the decision to stop running and start talking. That is the story of Jonah. And the really big fish.
That's gonna leave a stink.
Fantastic. So that's the story of Jonah that Jesus is kind of holding out to these Pharisees, these Sadducees, and saying, that's the only sign you need. And that's the only sign you're going to get. Now, think about the story. All right? All the stories in the Bible teach us about Jesus. They're like dramas that are acted out so that when Jesus comes, we recognize who he is, we recognize what he's doing, and we're able to understand him. All right, so Jesus picks this one particular story and he says, the story of Jonah. All right, go back in your head. What does that teach you about the prophet who God was going to send? He says, what it teaches you is that before the message can be preached to the people, what needs to happen? The prophet needs to die and be resurrected. Now we know that's what Jesus is going on about with the whole sign of Jonah thing, because he actually tells us it. He says, again, there's some people who come to Jesus and say, we want to see a miraculous sign from you. And Jesus again says, you are a wicked and adulterous generation asking for a miraculous sign. None will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man, that's just the way Jesus had of talking about himself, so I will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And here he is again saying, right, you want a sign? You only get one sign. I will be dead for 3 days and 3 nights, and then I will be resurrected. That is all the evidence you need. That is all the proof that you need. And the apostles believed that. So when they went out to teach people about Jesus, they didn't look to do these great signs and miracles to convince people that Jesus was true. They just told people that he had been crucified and that God had brought him back from the dead. So here's just one example. One of the early Christian pastors, the Apostle Paul, is saying, he said, look, God has set a day when he will judge the world by the man he has appointed. And he's given proof of this. So God is going to judge the world through Jesus. And he has given proof. He's given us the evidence to know that is true. He has given proof to us all by raising Jesus from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus, that is God's proof, God's evidence that Jesus is the genuine article. In the midst of all the opinions that there are about who God is or isn't, how to worship him, what it looks like to follow him, God has said, this is the guy you need to listen to, and I prove it to you by raising him from the dead. And if you look at the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and then say, I need a sign, remember what Jesus says. He says, you're like someone standing looking at a red sky at night. Now, even today, we have the little rhyme, don't we? A red sky at night, shepherd's delight. They had the same kind of thing in Jesus' day. All right, remember what he said to the Pharisees, to the Sadducees, when he's talking about this. He says, look, when evening comes, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. Red sky at night, shepherd's delight. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. Red sky in the morning, shepherd's warning. He said, you know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. He said, imagine someone who knows red sky at night, shepherd's delight. They look out on this as their evening sunset. The sky is just burnt red. And they're looking at it and they're going, I wish there was some way to know what the weather's going to do tomorrow. He's like, you fool. That is the way you know what the weather's going to do tomorrow. Red sky at night, shepherd's delight. Jesus said, that's what it's like standing, looking at the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and going, I wish there was some way to know that Jesus was the truth. And God's like, that is the sign. That is the evidence. That is how you know Jesus is the truth. And you take that and you follow Jesus or you walk away. But let's not have this nonsense that says, well, if God just gave me a sign, then I would follow him. God has given you a sign, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and now you need to decide whether you will follow him or not. Now, there's a real tragedy at the end of this story. Because these Pharisees and the Sadducees, you see, they think they're the ones in control. They think they're the ones who are judging Jesus. And they think they are the ones who are rejecting Jesus because he doesn't give them a sign. What's actually happening is exactly the opposite. Jesus is judging them. Jesus is rejecting them. And so the very last words that Diane read to us from that reading, Jesus left them and went away. And the tragedy is that even though they had the sign of Jonah, when Jesus left, they did not follow. They ignored the evidence, the sign that God gave them. Please do not make the same mistake.